Cutheads. Welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is Sharing Our Pairings episode 95, Winter Spice Short Pour Edition. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon. We're broadcast live around the world, picked up on the Armed Forces Radio Network. And of course, you can tune in at CigarFederation.com, YouTube.com, sometimes Facebook if I share the link, but not today. And of course, for all our podcast listeners out there who are subscribed, thanks very much for your subscription. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Trent Tripp.
Hey guys.
What's going on, brother?
Not much. Ready to drink a little bit of winter ale. One of my favorites.
One of my favorites too. I mean, a lot of people talk about sort of spices and pumpkin and stuff being the autumn thing, and it is the autumn thing. But for me, winter spice ales are they just fit so perfectly with winter.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not a big fan of pumpkin though, so I can't really I just don't do pumpkin. But winter ales, on the other hand, I'm a big fan of.
See, I find a lot of crossover between winter ales and like the pumpkin spice seasonal ales. The spices, the cinnamon and all the nutmeg and all that good stuff. There's a lot of crossover. You don't like cinnamon?
No, I could definitely see that. Oh, I love cinnamon.
Cinnamon. Of course, we're doing a little pairing with some Illusioni cigars tonight, and we'll get into that in a second. Just a reminder, audience, that Sharing Our Pairing is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars, makers of the world's finest cigars. Try the new Heritage, or old Heritage, really. It's not new, but check it out at your local B&M. Cigar Journal gave it, I think, number 20 of the year, which high praise.
Wow, that's pretty high praise.
So, there's a lot of lists coming out. This is the time I'm actually working on my top 25 list, and we'll probably talk a little bit about that tomorrow night at our special time of Cigar Chat. Normally, Cigar Chat will be on Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, but hey, folks, it's Christmas time, and can't mess with Christmas. So we're gonna have the Cigar Chat on Thursday. So for all those who are tuning in tonight, make sure to look tomorrow night. We'll have it on the show page. We'll have it on the Cigar Federation page. It's all good. I'm just trying to find a lighter that will work in this condition, and I might have to put a particular lighter in my pocket here, Gady.
You gotta start getting bringing a soft flame with you, just because they stand up to the cold so much better.
Yeah, so I have my Zycar Liga soft flame here, and it kind of works. There we go, kind of works, sort of. But she cold. Oh, not as cold as it was last week, but she cold.
It's gorgeous here. Well, I mean, as gorgeous as it can be in late December, but it's 50 out, so I'm wearing a sweatshirt. It's great.
I am smoking outside, but I'd be smoking outside during the day if it's 50 degrees here, because to me, as long as you – and we're pretty sunny up here in Calgary, but as long as you've got enough sun and it's not windy. I tried smoking a cigar for review yesterday and kind of wasted a whole bunch of time because I got halfway through and the wind was just howling. I mean, it wasn't that cold. It was like 36 degrees. So I was like, yeah, that's about right. For December, that's not too bad to smoke in, but the wind was just howling. I got halfway down. The cigar started to get funky on me and it's like, nah, this is not good. It's not.
There's no better way to ruin a cigar. I forgot his name. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Jose Blanco.
He says there's no better way to ruin your cigar than the guy sitting next to you. And I say wind.
Yeah. The guy sitting next to you in wind. Wind is just, I mean, it's so funny because at 36 degrees, honestly, I've smoked obviously in way worse temperature than that. 36 is nothing. But that wind just made it miserable. It's a miserable experience. And I think the same is exactly true if it was 70 degrees out and it was windy. Yeah. It's crap.
Yeah, it's crap. Definitely. Unsmokable in windy conditions.
Absolutely. But what is smokable, I like that segue, is the Illusioni Ultra OP. Number 3 is now, is it OP? Now I'm going to get myself in trouble. Is it OP or is it OP?
I think it's OP, but I'm not certain.
There's no decimal places to indicate.
Oh, that's true. It stands for something. It might be OP.
So it must be OP. So Illusioni Ultra OP number 3. This is a 2016 line extension to the OP series, which I have not smoked before. I bought a bunch of these blind because it's Dion. Why wouldn't I buy it blind? I mean, come on. This is they call it a petite robusto. I guess you could kind of call it a short robusto as well, but I'm going to go with what Coop says. Short. It's a petite robusto, 4.25 by 50. And they did a special run of these as well, which is a run of 348 count boxes, which is kind of funky. And then they also did a line extension, the op number 8, which is a Churchill, and that joins the number 1, which is the Double Corona, number 4, which is the Robusto, number 7, which is the Parejo, number 9, which is a Toro. And what's interesting about this, and I didn't know this, but this is a Parejo, so that means it's rounded.
Mm-hmm.
The other series in the op are actually soft box press, which is kind of interesting.
I've had one of those. I don't recall the exact size, but it was very good.
Well, see, I mean, I love a soft box press, so it's funny that I bought the number 3. If I'd been shopping, I would have gravitated towards one of the other ones that is a soft box press. I just find, and we talked about this, that, like, it fits nicely in your mouth. It's yeah. more of a comfortable feel. A little bit about the profile. It's got a Nicaraguan Corojo wrapper, which I dig. Nicaraguan binder, Nicaraguan filler, and, of course, it's out of the Tabsa factory, which, you know.
Ooh, girl.
Tabsa. Forget about it. They make some magic wacky tobacco. No, mm-hmm. it's regular tobacco, but they sprinkle magic angel dust on their tobacco.
Something.
It's fantastic.
They got something.
Yeah.
Don't know what it is.
Trip, what are you smoking tonight?
I am smoking the Illusion 88. It's from the, I think he calls it the original document series now. It's one of the, like when Illusion first came out, they only had their core line. They're still around. They're Nicaraguan Puros. This particular one, the 88, is a 5x50, might be 5x52. I didn't do enough research, I guess. It's a Corojo wrapper, I believe, with Criollo and Corojo in the filler. This line is kind of just focused on the flavors of Corojo and Criollo.
I do love that Corojo.
Oh, I love it.
So looking at the band, I'm pretty sure somewhere in the depths of my humidor, I have a 888 somewhere.
Yeah, that would be the Churchill version of this.
Hmm.
Dion, he blends them all a little differently from what I've heard, even in the core line, similar to what a lot of – I mean, he did it kind of before everybody else, I feel like, when now it's pretty common to have a line of cigars with different sizes where each size isn't just the same blend. It's a very slight tweak on the blend to fit that size. And Dion's – core line has always been that way.
Well, it makes sense because everyone in the industry praises him for his blending prowess. And, you know, there's lots of people out there that will buy his product sight unseen. So I guess I'm not surprised by that at all.
Yeah. Yourself included.
Myself included. So talking about the profile, this is definitely, and I've certainly read some comments that this is a much more full bodied, the Ultra Series is much more full bodied than some of the other stuff that Dion, blends. Excuse me. She's a little cold out, a little windy. It definitely starts out with some oomph. I mean, there's no question that, you know, this is what I would describe in the medium full category. It's got a little bit of black pepper up front, a little bit of spices. It's got that, you know, when you're smoking a medium full cigar and you can just feel that power when it starts out, even if it's not like a gritty, strong, leathery earth, you can kind of feel that power. And I can definitely feel that here. I'm glad that I ate a giant bowl of pho this afternoon because I'm immune to nicotine at this point. I'm just stuffed full of noodles,
yeah.
and delicious beef and satay and all kinds of goodness. So this is definitely not a Nancy cigar. It's got a lot of oomph to it, but it's got a lot of flavor. And I think that's good because I think one of the things, you know, we're pairing some ales tonight because that's what we do on Sharing Our Pairings. We pair beverages and cigars. And I think there's probably when you're blending or you're pairing with an ale, there's a tendency maybe to bring the strength down. And I think when you go to a winter spice ale, those spices kind of bring a lot of oomph with them.
Oh yeah, definitely. It can easily overrun a medium or mild cigar. The 88, on the other hand, is a little more medium bodied. I'd call it medium plus because it's not quite full, but it's definitely, like you said, you can feel a little bit of power in there. It's got some spice, some black pepper. I would say some floral character on the retrohale, which I always like. I'm not a big fan of floral flavors.
Ditto.
But the floral on the retrohale is something I can usually get behind.
And I don't know if you're getting this out of yours, but there's this sort of underlying sweetness. And I want to say it's got Aganorsa in here. I'm sure I'm wrong. But it's got kind of this savory sweetness, and I usually associate that with Aganorsa tobacco because it's this particular flavor, and I just can't put my finger on it. But when I taste it, I and again, I'm going to look like an idiot when there's no Agonorsa in this, but I feel like there is Agonorsa.
I believe there's Agonorsa in that one and this one. I'm not positive though. But I completely agree with you there. There's when I first started smoking Don Pepin and Tatawahe years and years ago was back when they were using Agonorsa tobacco, and they had this particular like sweetness that I always attributed to kind of the sweetness you get from a charred steak.
Oh, nice.
It's like an umami kind of sweetness. And I think that's probably the flavor you're getting, because I definitely get those off the Ultra series.
And it's good because, like I said, I mean, there's a lot of power. Like as I retrohale this, I'm definitely getting a lot of black pepper. And, you know, black pepper, like you're talking about Don Pepin. I love Don Pepin sticks because they're just a punch in the face of, like, it's a pepper bomb. But what's nice about this is that it's offset nicely with that sweetness. And I think that if you're not a big fan of pepper, this is probably not the cigar to go with. But if you're looking to get into the more peppery stick, it does save you a little bit with the sweetness. It does. It is a nice counterbalance.
And if you're looking for something that's not quite peppery, I got something right here for you. This is, I get a lot of the same flavors that I think you're getting, but a little bit more sweetness, a little bit less pepper.
Right. Chatting with someone in our Cigar Federation chat room. You can, of course, join the Cigar Federation chat room 24/7. Pretty active during the week as we all try to avoid work. Just saying.
Somebody's always there.
Somebody's always there. It sometimes might take you a minute or two to get a response, but somebody's already there, always there. Ooh, my mouth's starting to freeze. My mouth's starting to freeze. So let's get into some beer pairings, because I've been taking sips really before the show even started, because I love winter ales. This is like, you know, it's one of those times of the year. I mean, you can get stouts any time of the year. You can get gozes any time of the year. But this is special. This is a winter special. And I'm kind of going with something that is maybe a little pedestrian for the show and maybe a little pedestrian for some of the beer drinkers out there, because it doesn't get any more domestic than this. This is from Big Rock Brewery, which if you've been to Calgary, if you're a Canadian, everyone knows Big Rock Brewery. Big Rock is kind of a mainstay. It was kind of one of the first, I don't want to say, you know, boutique type breweries in Calgary, because it really wasn't. It was kind of designed as Calgary's first brewery. And just for the people, really, it's like a main brewery here, and they've gotten more boutique as time has gone on. And this is probably one of their more boutique offerings. Big Rock actually was founded in 1984 in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, by Ed McNally. Ed unfortunately passed away 2 years ago, but he was kind of a cornerstone of Calgary and a cornerstone of beer because, you know, again, they've been around for so long. They moved their brewery in 1996, they moved to a bigger facility. And Ed always had this really cool philosophy, which I liked, because especially now at a time where some breweries are kind of getting into, you know, you want to kind of say hipster territory, where, you know, ultra imperial IPAs or cranberry stouts are kind of getting the hipster thing. And I'm okay with that. But Ed's philosophy to making beer is that he wanted to make beers that he wanted to drink, not that would be popular. So
that's always the way to go.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked to some cigar blenders that are like that, and they're like, well, you know, ultimately, I didn't want to make a cigar that people would like. I just wanted to make a cigar that I liked, and hopefully people like that. I think even Sokka said that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, that's Sokka's philosophy to a T.
And there's a lot of risk to that, because especially, you know, talk about a brewery. I mean, that's a crap ton of money to open up facilities, so hopefully people do like it, and I do like it. This is the Winter Spice Ale. Got in my little cats festival glass here. It's 6% ABV, so it's, you know, it's a little bit more oomph than a typical ale. You know, even for a Canadian, most ales kind of around the 4.8 to 5.2, so a little bit more. Only 12.5 IBUs, which kind of makes sense for an ale. Hops are pretty straightforward: Willamette and Fuggles. Nothing special there. Use pale and caramel malt. Again, nothing special. What's cool is they do have some recommendations, and I'm going to explain that in a second, but food pairing recommendations are ginger beef, braised duck, gingerbread cookies, pumpkin pie, oh yeah, baby, and chocolate. And the first one on that list, ginger beef. I don't know if a lot of listeners out there even know what ginger beef is, but ginger beef is something that was created here in Calgary, along with the Caesar and some other food items. But we do actually have a pretty diverse Asian population that immigrated to Calgary many, 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 many years ago. So we've got some really awesome Asian food here, Chinese food, Japanese food, Korean food. And there's a Chinese restaurant downtown And this was like, I want to say 30 years ago, they came up with this idea of taking strips of beef, and Alberta beef, which, you know, we pride ourselves on a beef, and they marinated in this sort of orange teriyaki, sweet and sour sauce. And then they bread it and they deep fry it. And then they put some, I want to say some, peppers, like some spicy peppers on it. Oh, baby.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, it's incredible. And I feel like I could take that recipe and open it up in the States. And, you know, cause I know you guys have, Mr. Choice, something like that.
Oh, General So Chicken.
General So Chicken. So I feel like you could do the same kind of thing with ginger beef, because I feel like this is exactly the kind of food that Americans would just go bananas over.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Anyways, she good.
I bet. And I am drinking, you'll notice a theme here. Every time we drink beer, I'm pretty much always going to drink something local. I'm here in Portland, Oregon, where in the Willamette Valley. Not Willamette. Just for future.
Awkward. it's got two L's. What can I do? It's got two L's. If it had one L, I'd be, you know, like, anyways.
That's what I called it when I moved here.
Willamette?
Willamette.
Willamette.
I'm drinking Slayer from Ninkasi Brewing Company.
So good.
I'm a huge fan of this. This is kind of my standard winter beer. Every time it hits the shelves, I always buy some. And here you can get it literally everywhere. I mean, if my wife is going to the gas station and I need beer, I can say pick up a 6-pack of Slayer and they're definitely going to have it.
Give me fuel, give me beer, give me that which I desire.
Exactly. anyway, this is, it's now called a winter ale. They actually changed the branding just this year. And I can see why. It was a little confusing before. The style of beer is a dark double alt. And those are three things that aren't going to make sense to every person walking in and buying beer.
Not even me.
Yeah. So the alt part comes from an alt beer. It's a German style.
Oh, right. Of course. Yes.
Alt yeast, which is ale yeast that is top fermenting. Wait. I forgot which one's top and bottom. Uh-oh. But it's an ale yeast, whichever one that is, top or bottom. But it ferments at lagering temperatures.
Ooh.
So you end up with a more crisp, clean kind of finish than you do on a normal ale where you're getting a little bit more of that yeast flavor.
Okay.
From the warmer fermentation. Fermentation. Oh, I said it.
You said it.
Just like that guy.
Rob's clicking his tongue at you while watching the show.
He is. I'm clicking my tongue at myself. The fermentation. The dark part, of course, or the double part, we'll start with that. That part's easy. Higher in alcohol, 7.2%, which is not super high, but it's higher than most alt beers, which are closer to 5%. And then the dark part is that they use porter malts in here.
Oh, sweet.
So this is a mix of a lot of different styles, but you end up with a dark, rich, very hoppy winter beer that's very crisp. And, I mean, it's almost like an IPA, but it's got that crispness that you don't normally get from an ale.
That's I think that crispness is a good way to describe winter ale in general, because I'm definitely getting off this winter spice ale, the Brewmaster's edition, as they say on the bottle. Ooh. What I like on the beer that I'm drinking is it definitely is ale quality, but the maltiness is up a lot. So it's got that nice, sweet, rich maltiness, sort of a toffee character to it. And then it finishes with kind of a mixture of nutmeg, a nice cinnamon note to it, and some allspice. It's so good. And it's, you know, it's just enough. And I've talked about this when we do our pumpkin show where, you know, people wave pumpkin over the pumpkin beer. And it's like, no, when I want a pumpkin ale, I want pumpkin in my face. And what I like about this is that it's got just enough spices to give you that nice spicy aftertaste that kind of satisfies you without having to go right back for another sip, without being overpowering. They've dialed it in just right. And the strength level, the intensity level is just perfect, because again, I was mentioning that this Illusione Ultra is a little on the peppery side. So these are contrasting in an excellent, excellent way, because they're really offsetting each other beautifully.
And I'm getting a lot more of a complimentary kind of pairing. The beer is sweet at first, and then you taste kind of those roasty flavors, and then it leaves you with the hoppy flavors and the bitterness on the finish. And I think that goes really well with the slight spice, the floral sweetness that I get from this Illusion.
And I think until you pointed it out, I probably wouldn't have been able to put my finger on the floral note. I'm definitely getting off the retrohale. It's very subtle though. Like it's, it kind of reminds me of, it's sometimes when I'm having a Highland Scotch, there's sometimes this sort of heathery floral note that's in there, but it's just under the surface. So it's not at all, because like you, I am not at all a fan of floral, like especially if floral is, you know, like you kind of get into that lavender soapy character. Not a fan. Not for me at all. But this is just, it's an accent note, and it's just one of those structured flavors in here that kind of builds for this nice complex smoke. And like I said, this has got a lot of oomph to it. I mean, this is, I would not want to smoke this cigar on an empty stomach. And I think maybe Illusione tends to get a little bit of a, maybe a rep that some of their cigars are a little on the lighter side. And this is definitely not the character for this Ultra at all.
Yeah, I think over the last couple of years, they've really expanded their lines to include from very mild, like the Epernays, to pretty strong, like the Ultras.
But I think in every case, even with the strength maybe being the lighter side, I think you can always say Dion blends for just loads and loads of flavor profile.
Oh, yeah. He definitely blends for flavor.
Yeah. So this is, So I've got obviously a lot of different winter spice. There's a Lion's Winter Ale, which comes out of Vancouver. I think it's Vancouver. It's either Victoria or Vancouver. And that's kind of, that's Granville Island. And that's kind of my mainstay. Like if I go out and I'm having a dinner out, first thing I'll ask for is like a Granville Island winter spice ale, because it just, it's winter spice ales, beyond obviously the fact we're pairing them with cigars, I think it's a great time of the year because winter spice ales can go so well with a variety of different meat, like pork and chicken and beef. Mm-hmm. And it is a seasonal thing. So I think that's got a plus. I mean, the minus is I want to try all the time, but I think if you had it all the time, you probably wouldn't appreciate it. It's once per year. You got a window of about 60 to 90. Well, I wouldn't say 90. It's really 60 to 70 days. And then they kind of disappear from the market. You got to wait till next year.
Yeah. We don't get a lot of spiced winter ales around here. I tried to find one. I couldn't find any in the couple of stores that I looked at. I guess they're just not in right now. Most of the winter ales that we get around here are very hoppy. You may have had, I think you've had it on the show, Abominable from Hopworks Urban Brewery Hub.
Yep.
It's a great beer, but it's not your typical winter beer. It's kind of the new style, which is more of a dark IPA.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm surprised given how many funky styles and different breweries that are there. You would think that Portland would be coming out with just a crap ton of winter spice ales somewhere around the end of November, beginning of December.
Yeah, they're just, I think they're just kind of out of fashion here. I was surprised that you were able to even find one, and to hear you talking about others is a little surprising too.
Yeah, we get a crap ton because I think there's a big market for it. I mean, obviously it's winter time and we get winter big time, but I think there's a big market for it. I mean, like I said, Big Rock every year, Granville Island every year. I can always count on a couple of 3-4 solid releases. And Ninkasi is a no brainer. I always pick up a couple bottles when I'm out. Today I went bottle shopping and ended up getting a bunch of stouts and porters because it is also the season. So I've got some Stone Zocoveza in the smaller bottles, which I was surprised to see.
I've been looking everywhere for that and I cannot find it.
So I thought we've got this great website called Liquor Connect, and it searches all the importers and tells you where you can buy it in the city, which is super helpful. So you can look up wines, you can look up spirits, beers, etc. So I was trying to track down, and I forget the name of the other stone. It's the bitter oatmeal chocolate stout.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's like this limited edition. I couldn't find it anywhere. And I found that and the Zocoveza at this bottle shop that's only three blocks away. And I went in there thinking, okay, well, you know, they're probably going to have Bombers and the Zocoveza, which, you know, especially as I'm trying to drink and eat healthier. I can't do a bomber in one sitting. It's too many calories.
That's a lot of beer too.
It's a lot of beer. But so I was like, well, you know, I'll pick up one or two or whatever. And then I saw they had the little, the perfect size, little, you know, 12 ounce bottles. That's great. So I ended up getting a 4-pack and the guy kind of looks at me. He's like, have you had these before? I'm like, yeah, I really like this. He says, oh, okay. And so I pretty much, I think they only had two left on the shelf. I kind of cleared them out. I did not feel bad about it at all.
Yeah. Everywhere I went bottle shopping, last weekend or the weekend before, and I just kind of hit a couple of the bottle shops around. I was really looking for, Oscar Blues 1050 barrel aged, like we talked about last week.
The white whale.
Yeah. Couldn't find it anywhere. And I was also looking for Chacovese and nobody had it. Everybody was out.
Hook a brother up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So of course, this is a special time for sharing our pairings because like I said, we are up against it with Cigar Chat being a Wednesday. We kind of want to leave Christmas free. We've obviously got time to spend with Christmas, the family and whatnot. I think we'll be back next week on our regular scheduled slot at Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I don't know what we're going to pair, but we're going to pair something. We'll figure it out. And of course, this is a short pour edition. Normally, sharing our pairings runs 58 minutes in the Armed Forces Radio Network, but we're keeping it short tonight. We're just doing the one beer and the one cigar. Final comments on your pairing of the Lujone 8H.
It is a fantastic cigar. That floral note that, again, I'm not a big fan of, just works so well with the other flavors in this cigar that I can't help but love it. It's got just the right amount of spice, just the right amount of sweetness. It's a really well-balanced cigar.
And I would say the same of this Ultra Op number 3. Fantastic line extension. Obviously, given the weather, a petite Robusto, short Robusto, is exactly what I want in weather like this. Great choice, enjoyable, tasty, balanced, delicious, goes well with the beer. All things are good. So I think, you know, this is a beer or this is a cigar that would probably pair with a variety of different spirits, a variety of different beers. I mean, I could definitely see myself going into a porter or a stout because it's got enough backbone. Mm-hmm. It's got enough body to, I think, stand up to that.
And the beer here, I think this beer goes really well with cigars. It's got just the right amount of sweetness and bitterness to, again, keep it really balanced. It's not like, it's not quite a dark IPA or a black IPA. It's a little too sweet for that and not quite bitter enough. Even though it's 70 IBUs, it's not over the top bitter like most IPAs are. It's a little more balanced, a little more sweet.
Nice. No worries. So I just want to wish everyone on our Armed Forces Radio Network a Merry Christmas, and I wish you a Happy New Year, but we'll do that next week when we're back live. Hope everyone has a chance to relax, have some turkey or ham or whatever is being served up wherever you're stationed in the world, and hope everything is boring and safe, and you know, you guys have some downtime, some rack time. You can contact family, call family, and you know, appreciate all of you out there sacrificing for us, keeping us safe for everyone in the world. It means a lot, and we do appreciate it. And like I said, we'll be back next week at our regular scheduled time of 8 p.m. Eastern Standard on Wednesday, so you can check it out then. Don't know what the pairing is, but I'm sure it'll be good. And as we were saying on Sharing Our Pairings, drink better, but drink less. And we're fucking back.
Sure.
All right.
Man, I inhaled some beer right at the end of my sentence.
Yeah, it's tough, man, especially when you're live, you know, and there's been times where I've taken a puff and like drawn it right into my lungs accidentally. And it's like, oh, yeah. I'm frantically reaching for the mute button while trying not to cough in the mic. This Ultra is friggin' good, man. Like this is, she's a spicy little meatball. It's tasty. It's a good size. I mean, I actually probably could have even gone a little bit smaller, but she good.
Yeah, I was walking around Seattle sometime last year, like in the spring. I think it was in February or so. And I was just walking around the street smoking one of those. And I think like three people, which this blew me away, like three people stopped me and were like, dude, that smells amazing. Which I couldn't believe. Normally I just get dirty looks walking around because I'm not smoking pot like everybody else in Seattle.
I actually really love when somebody talks about like I'm smoking a cigar, because I'm, you know, there's, I think cigar smokers get this rep that, like, you know, dirty cigar smokers blowing their smoke all over the place. And honestly, whenever I'm traveling, whenever I'm out smoking, because I can't smoke here, but whenever I'm out in the States and I'm smoking, you know, if we find somewhere on a patio or whatever, we try and find the furthest place away
from people. Me too.
Smoke a cigar. And it's always cool when people come up and they're like, "Hey man, what are you smoking?" And you're like, "Uh oh." And they're like, "Yeah, no, it smells really good, blah, blah, blah." And that's kind of a cool experience for me.
I mean, these weren't even cigar smoker people. They were just random people who were like, "That smells great," which is great to hear, because when you're smoking, you can't tell what the room note is.
No.
It could be great. It could be terrible. You don't know the difference.
Yeah, not at all. Again, winter spice sales, perfect time of the year. And, you know, it is, I mean, as much as I do like the nice, meaty 9.5%, 10.5% stouts, it is nice to sit down and have a winter spice sale and not be completely gooned out for an episode, or even, you know, if I'm sitting down with dinner and I'm having a steak or having a dinner, and I don't particularly feel like getting gooned on a stout at 9.5%, 10.5%. It's kind of nice to have just a nice sessionable ale that's got some more interest and body to it than just a regular ale.
Yeah, that's what I like about winter ales, and it's a style you don't really get in the summer. You're kind of either stouts or something lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of style of a dark, drinkable ale is just not available outside of the winter.
And, you know, again, I think what probably makes it so great is that when you limit something like that as a seasonal, it does tend to make you want it. You don't get bored of it. I mean, IPAs are really available year-round. Stouts are available year-round. But winter spice ales, you've got a limited window. So let me ask you this, because we are coming up rapidly on Christmas. We're really only 5 days away. Well, 4 days if you are of the German heritage. And Germans, of course, tend to open their Christmas presents on Christmas Eve, or at least open some of the presents on Christmas Eve and some of the presents on Christmas Day. Do you have all your shopping done?
Yes. I'm still waiting for some stuff to get here from Amazon, but all my shopping's done. Luckily, my wife is great, and she takes care of 90% of the shopping.
You should marry that. Oh, you already did.
Yeah.
Nice. That's smart.
Got in there early.
No, that's nice. I tried to avoid any sort of physical shopping this year, because frankly, Christmas for me is a very stressful time of the year. I find that work tends to be quite stressful. I find that life tends to be quite stressful. I mean, we were talking today and I had to take my cat to the vet. Just, you know, one of those things that, like, this is Christmas for me. It's just
everything piles up at the end of December.
Everything piles up.
If I can go
to Amazon, which I did, and I can do pretty much 90% of my shopping. And I got to say, I don't mind paying Amazon to wrap my gifts. They had a gift wrapping option. And I'm like, absolutely. I hate wrapping gifts. I'm terrible at it. So I'm like, yep, please wrap every single one of these gifts. Thank you.
Oh, that's great. I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm. Nice little add-on. And they do a great job. I mean, the wrapping paper they use and the bows and all the stuff, it's high-end. It's way better than I could have done. And as you said, I think I've got the rest of my presents, I should say, arriving tomorrow.
Yeah, obviously, that's what mine should be.
Yeah. So, and I threw, like, you know, one thing in there for me and the rest is for everybody else. But I'm pretty much ready to rock, ready to go for Christmas. So it's kind of nice, because I can kind of go into Christmas not stressing. I've got 2 or 3 days where the last thing I need to worry about is presents, which is nice.
Yeah. And physical, I worked retail for years. Physical shopping is the worst. Like, stores from November and, like, from before Thanksgiving, but particularly after Thanksgiving, but like early November until January 1st, every store where you can buy any type of toy or electronic is insane.
Yeah, we went to a friggin' Chapters the other day, which is a bookstore chain up here, and it was a Monday, because I've got the week off, sort of. I mean, as much as a general manager of a franchise of cigar stores can have the week off. And it was like, I want to say 1 p.m, right? So everyone's working. I mean, some people have later in the week off, but everyone's working. We walked in there and that place was just wall to wall. And I was just,
crazy.
And like you, I worked retail for so many years. And number one, I hated Christmas time. It was the worst time of the year. And number two, having worked retail, I do my very, very best to try and spread a little love and happiness and upbeatness. Yeah. And like, I'm extra thankful because like, listen, I know you're working a 10-hour shift. You probably only had one break today. If you even had a break, you're probably mm-hmm. hungry and tired and cranky. And I'm not going to be that trouble customer. I'm going to, you know, throw a little love and thankfulness your way and hopefully pick up the day for a little bit.
Exactly.
Now you guys aren't really that, because your big shopping day is Black Friday. You guys really don't have much of a Boxing Day, right?
No, not really at all. The day after Christmas, rather than Boxing Day, is the Return Everything Day.
Mm-hmm. So, which is really what Boxing Day started out with, I think.
Oh, did
that
it?
Was really the intent. Yeah, it was really the day where people go and return and exchange. But what it ended up having up here in Canada, and I think other places, is that Boxing Day has become the Black Friday for Canada.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I knew of Boxing Day mainly as the day that Top Gear comes back.
Mm.
Until this year. But previously, their new episode came on Boxing Day.
Well, I know that not Boxing Day. I think it's Christmas Day. Doctor Who, I don't know if you're a Doctor Who fan, but first episode of season 10 of the new series starts this Sunday, which I'm super stoked about. But yeah, Boxing Day here is like bananas. People get up at like 5 in the morning, sometimes earlier, to go line up for crazy, crazy deals. I will not be participating in that.
From the retailer standpoint, that seems a lot smarter than selling things before Christmas, and then after Christmas everything's on sale because you just want it to go away. And yes, I am a big Doctor Who fan, but we kind of fell off when Peter Capaldi started, not because we didn't like him, but just because other stuff got in the way. We had kids by then and we just haven't caught up. We still need to, though.
Well, I mean, that's the nice thing about services like Netflix now.
Yeah.
Is when you have time to watch a show, you can kind of binge it. It's kind of nice. That way, I mean, it's really the new philosophy behind television, which I appreciate, which is, listen, you know, people have busy lives, and the days of coming home and eating dinner in front of the television and watching a show when the networks decide to schedule it, it's gone. Like, people just don't.
Yeah. Totally gone.
So, anyways,
sit down at 8 o'clock and watch 3 episodes of their favorite show every night.
Exactly. So again, I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. We'll wish you a Happy New Year next year. You'll have to tune in next week. You'll have to tune in Sharing Our Pairings to get your New Year's love out there. And we'll talk about what goodies we got for Christmas, because I'm sure we got some electronics and some goodies and some magic socks, which I used to call the socks with the $20 bill in it. Love the magic socks. So we'll be back next week at our regular scheduled time of 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. And as we say, sharing our pairings, drink better, but drink less.